You're listening to Amy Keeps It Creepy, the podcast where I share my obsession with true crime and the paranormal with you. I'm your host, Amy Brooks. A photobombing clown spirit. A wailing ghost searching for her lost husband. Don't go in any closets, because the spirits that haunt this place may lock you in. This is the Kreicher Mansion, a Victorian mansion in Staten Island. The historic property is said to be haunted by many spirits and was also the killing ground for the Bonanno crime family. Hi, creepsters. Some of my listeners like to listen to their podcast on YouTube. So I've been posting Amy Keeps It Creepy on my YouTube channel. It's called Toxic Content. Please check it out and subscribe. I know I've promised to post my paranormal adventures this year on the Toxic Content channel. But I have to tell you, I've been hesitant. I have over 30 videos of my ghost hunting that I've made since the summer. And I really want to share it with you, but I don't know. They are really creepy. A little too creepy, perhaps. I'm an actor and a filmmaker, and I don't want people thinking the stuff I filmed is fake, because it's not. I've seen other people's paranormal videos online, and they are excited to get a single EVP. Guys, I've collected hundreds. And like I said, this is not my profession. I'm not a professional ghost hunter. I'm an accidental ghost hunter of anything. This all started because I recorded an EVP during the recording of the podcast, the Red Onion Saloon episode. It changed my life, getting that evidence. So I decided to check out my own haunted house that I live in. I recorded more EVPs, EVPs that were intelligent, to my horror, because I have to live there with those ghosts. And it was confirmed in those EVPs that I am not delusional and there really is spirit activity in my house. They answered my questions directly. It's bizarre. But after that, I've been all over the country ghost hunting at some of the most haunted properties in America. And every ghost hunt I do, I have collected dozens of EVPs. I've also taken photos of spirits and recently a video of a shadow person. This is real, but it may look fake because there is so much activity. I was watching a video that I was supposed to have posted already on my ghost hunt in Griffith Park. I talked about it in the podcast a few weeks ago. And two different spirits, a man and a woman, talk throughout the whole video. It is so unbelievable that I'm scared that people will think that I'm some kind of fraud. I don't want to ruin my reputation over paranormal videos, lose out on a movie deal because someone sees me ghost hunting and thinks I'm just a little too weird for Hollywood. That's saying something. But maybe I get a lot of activity because, unlike a lot of professional ghost hunters I've seen, I don't go into a place with a big crew and lots of investigators. It's just me. I personally think that maybe that makes the spirits less intimidated and they actively try to communicate with me. Plus, I'm a scaredy cat, big time. In every video, you see me absolutely terrified, sometimes crying. So why did I do it? Why am I still doing it? I just ghost hunted at an abandoned sanitarium last week. Why am I checking out these haunted places by myself? Well, it was for the podcast, and then it just became bigger than the podcast. Listen to this. This is a recording that I recorded at a haunted house in New York. It's called Hinsdale House. Listen to this EVP, okay? This is of a woman. She's saying, "I'm dead." Listen to it again. Freaky, huh? Freaky. Here's another Hinsdale House recording.
Sega doesn't want me to go. That was really super creepy.
Did you hear it say it's creepy? That's a guy. I was there alone. Now, I did a whole podcast about this place. I have a podcast launching about it in a few weeks where I interviewed the owner, Daniel Klass, the star of the Ghost Finders. It's his place. Here is an EVP I recorded at a pioneer cemetery in Chicago called Guernsey Hollow.
Are you upset somebody messed with your gravestone?
Yeah, they tell me to get out a lot. And that is the main EVP I get from all these places. I should take the hint, right? And just get out and stop doing this. But I don't know, I'm compelled. You remember the Griffith Park episode where I shared this EVP?
Please.
That one blew my mind. It's so clear. And I didn't hear anything when I was there. But when I got home and listened to it, there's literally a man just talking. And a woman, but this one freaked me out.
Please.
And then here are some EVPs I recorded at an abandoned funeral home in Cleveland, Ohio.
Is it true, spirits? Is it true that Martin Luther King Jr. was here?
Did you hear him? Yes. Oh, here's another one.
Did you throw that nail at me?
And it did. It threw a nail at me. Crazy. Here's another one.
Are you protecting something?
Yes.
Yeah, that woman came in clear throughout the whole ghost hunt. So did that creepy guy who told me to get out. It's wild. What do I do? Like I said, I have dozens and dozens of these EVPs, over 30 episodes recorded. I think I have to share these videos. What do you think? Please let me know. If my fans are going to watch the videos and be fascinated and entertained, that's great. But if I'm just going to get condemned by people and it ruins my film career, that's not cool. I'll keep you posted on Instagram at creepypodcast and my personal account at Miss Amy Brooks. And don't forget to check out the Amy Keeps It Creepy website, creepypodcast.com, where I post all of the photos for the episodes, news, and giveaways. Crazy. My guest today is the caretaker of the infamous Kreischer Mansion in Staten Island, New York. Built in 1885, this magnificent house has been a favorite filming location for productions such as Gotham and Boardwalk Empire. However, this house is better known by the locals as being haunted, perhaps by dark spirits. The Kreischer Mansion has a dark and violent history of suicide and murder. It is thought by many that the poor souls who met such violent ends within its walls may still be there. Please welcome my guest, Rick Rispoli. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Amy. How you doing? Glad to be on the show.
Oh, I am so glad to have you. The Kreischer Mansion is an amazing place.
Yes, it's got history, lots and lots of paranormal history and crime history. Goes way back to the early 1800s, actually.
Yes, let's start from the beginning. So built by German immigrant Balthasar Kreischer in 1885, there were two identical mansions built, each given to Balthasar's sons. Now, the Kreischer Mansion was given to Edward Kreischer. There was a lot of parity with these brothers. They even married sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They were very well-to-do. Balthasar made his fortune in fireproof bricks, which was a big deal in New York back then because of all of the fires which destroyed a large part of the city. Their neighborhood that they lived in was even called Kreischerville. Now, this family had a tragic history. Rick, tell me about Balthasar and his son, Edward.
Balthasar came to New York in 1836. He immigrated from Germany into New York, and then New York had the mad fires of the 1800s.
Awful.
And he opened up a brick factory in Manhattan in the Lower East Side to help build back New York. And then he relocated in about 1854 to Staten Island to make a bigger factory. Actually, he found a piece of land on the South Shore, as far from Staten Island as you could go before New Jersey. He built a big factory there, and he built the whole town. He actually built the brick factory, built a saloon and an inn for his workers. He built workers' housing. He built a church. He built a general store. So he kind of ran the whole town, and he actually named it Chrysterville.
Amazing. And that whole history was pretty much erased because they were German-born.
Yeah.
If you were German during the war, you were definitely discriminated against.
Yes.
Anything German was frowned upon, and they changed the name of the town. They took down the plaque on the church that had thanked the Kreitschers for all that they had done for the city.
Yeah.
And, Rick, this is so weird to me. The factory was burned down. Literally, they made fireproof bricks, and the factory burned down. And so did one of the houses. Not the Kreitscher Mansion, but the other twin house.
The other twin house did burn down. They actually did not use their own bricks.
It's wild, right?
That's crazy. I do tours at the mansion, and I got to explain that, and it's hard to explain. They invented the fireproof brick, had the fireproof brick, and built the houses out of wood.
Wow.
There are three mansions there. Balthazar built a mansion on the property all the way on top of the hill. Okay? And then he built the two matching houses, one still standing today, for his sons, but everything was built out of wood. Nothing was built out of brick. It's pretty insane.
It's insane.
If you really think about it.
No, yeah. I think it's very ironic and a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a tragic history, this family. Tell me more about that.
Balthazar built the houses in 1885. He passed away by 1886. So the houses were only up for about a year. So when he passed away, Charles and Edward ran the factory. And they kind of used to buck heads a lot. In 1895, Edward Kreischer shot himself with a lot of controversy if he was murdered, kind of by his brother.
Whoa.
Either by his brother or was directed from his brother.
And that happened on the steps of the mansion, right?
He was actually at the factory. Edward was at the factory. Went out, went in. Everybody said he was in good mood. Watched one of the schooner boats get loaded. And then apparently walked in the woods behind the factory towards the mansions and either shot himself or got murdered. Still today, it's still up in the air.
Rick, what do you think?
I don't know, because his brother Charles, after he died, used to have a lot of seances.
Really?
And Ouija boards in the mansion trying to contact his brother about him dying. And that's the rumor why the doors are still open in that mansion. Because his brother Charles, who lived next door and they ran a factory together, used to do all these seances and stuff to try to contact his brother to see what really happened.
What do you mean the doors? Are you talking like a door to the spirit world?
Or like a portal.
Whoa.
He's saying he opened up a portal. That's kind of the rumor of that they opened up a portal and that started letting in some spirits and stuff because they kind of opened it up and didn't know what they were doing, obviously. After Edward shot himself or was murdered, they carried the body back to the house. So he was like kind of between the factory and the house. So they carried it to the factory. They took it to the mansion. So that's why they still think Edward's still at the mansion.
Oh, you think he haunts the mansion?
He's one of them.
One of them? Oh my gosh.
This is what I've been told.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
This is what I've been told.
Who else is haunting the mansion?
Balthazar had three kids under the age of 9 that died at early ages. Young kids. One died at 5, one died at 7, and there was one more, I think it might have been like 3. There is rumor that the kids are still running around, which I got a story. We do a haunted house there the whole month of October, and we have a hayride. My partner's father drives the hayride, and he's driving around, and he comes back, he goes, listen, you got to stop the two kids from running between the two barns. They keep on running, the kid with the white shirt keeps on running in front of the wagon, the hay wagon. You know, he's driving a tractor on the hay wagon. And we were like, all right, well, how old's the kid? He goes, I don't know. He must be about 6, 7 years old.
What?
So we're like, we don't have no kids 6, 7 years old. There's no kid running around in the woods. Because we have a hayride. It's 5 acres. So we have a hayride goes through. We have scenes in the woods. And then you get dropped off at the house and go through the house. So I call my partner over and I go, Vinny, do we have a kid who's like 7 years old? He goes, no, the youngest kid we got is 18. The kid's standing right there. It happened about That whole run, we did like 4 days in a row that first year. It happened like almost every night. We had little kids running around in the woods.
What?
And the guard on the back also seen it. So I was a driver. So it was, so we're saying the little kids are running around there. We think there was a mob hit there in 2005. We think he's running around there. And there's a couple of spirits there, from what I've been told.
It's amazing, because I know you do a lot of organized haunted house productions, like the Cannibal House and the Haunted Hayride with actors in costume. But I don't know if you need that. If these stories are true, there you have real ghosts to spook people.
I actually did Dr. Oz's show last September, about this house. I was on Dr. Oz last September, and then I was on Inside Edition, which is a bigger show in New York. And then I also did SI Live, which is a live broadcast out of Staten Island, all about some of the pictures and some of the evidence that we've caught at the house. So we catch stuff there. We catch footsteps. We catch some doors. We catch some wailing, females, like wailing.
Wailing? You're kidding.
Like crying, wailing. What else do we catch? Once in a while, we catch shadows. But nothing really bad, I'll be honest with you. Nothing really seems to be evil. I don't get too freaked out there, to be honest with you, but this one incident really got to me. I was going on the road for 2 weeks to do concerts and stuff. So as soon as I got back, I do events at the mansion. I do concerts at the mansion. I do haunted houses, drive-in movies.
Yeah, just so you know, everyone, Rick is in the industry. He's been in the music industry for a long time.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. So I was going on the road for 2 weeks. So I said, you know what? As soon as I got back that weekend, I was doing a concert at the mansion. So I said to my assistant, I said, let's get these chairs down there now. And we'll just drive down there, open the gate, we'll go on the property, I'll drop them on the porch. So when I come back, I don't have to deal with it because I was going to have like a 1 day back. So I said, okay. So it's like 12:30 at night. We drive to the mansion and we're going through the gate and we pull up to the front porch of the mansion. I'm taking the chairs off, and I'm putting the chairs, stacking the chairs up, and also my assistant goes, Rick, the music's on in the car.
Oh.
So I go, okay, so maybe I hit the button, you know? So I start moving the chairs around again. She taps me again. She goes, Rick, the music's on in the car, and she's shaking the keys in front of my face. So I go, you're kidding me. She goes, no, the music's on. So I walk down, and I hear the song. It sounded like a rock song, and we hear, let me free, let me go, and I look in the car, and as I look in the car, the music goes off. So now, I get freaked out. I'm like, let's get out of here, boom. She's like, no, let's look around, maybe somebody's here, somebody else has a radio on. I'm like, well, 5.5 acres, there's no one here.
And that is your ride home, right?
Yes,
oh, no.
Correct.
There's no escape.
So we were like, okay, so we leave. We shake it off, right? Shake it off. We come back, like later that week, and we phone in the gate, and the radio changes, and it went to the same exact song.
Let Me Go, Let Me Be Free? Ooh.
Yep. It was a Christian rock song by Chris Tomlin. It's about let me free, let me go, let me move on. The same song came on 3 different times when we pulled onto that property.
Oh my God, they're trying to communicate with you.
Yes, because actually, the mob hit was this kid, Ron McKelvey. He was a local guy. I actually knew him, and my assistant knew him.
Oh, wow.
Ironically, we wound up at the mansion to do events and to caretake. We were like, okay, this is where Rob was basically murdered, you know? So we kind of have a connection to him because we knew him before that happened. He was a local guy. I went to school with him, actually.
Oh, my God. And he was totally rubbed out by your predecessor, another caretaker, Joe Black.
Yes, correct. Which was, that was in 2005. He didn't get caught till like 2007 or so. That's what we felt. We felt like it was a communication thing because we kind of knew him.
Yeah, you went to school with him.
Yeah, we both knew him. He ran with the crew, like, you know. Like, we ran into him here and there. We went out. We all knew each other and everything. So it was kind of weird, but we have communicated with him a few times now.
Really? How?
We're going with EVP meters.
Oh.
We're going with cameras and stuff, and we're talking. We'll get responses in there.
What does he say?
I've got responses from Balthazar. We've got responses from Rob and from Charles, one of the sons. and Edward.
Wait a minute. Do they identify themselves? How do you know it's them?
We kind of talk to them. It's true. If you really get the right equipment, you could actually talk. And you will get responses at times. It's really weird.
It's weird. It's creepy. I know you don't get scared in that house, but this house is the real deal, guys. It is so scary looking. From the outside, it just looks like it's haunted.
Yeah, we've caught stuff there. We've caught pictures. Actually, the first year we did the haunted house, so my partner's father, who drives a tractor, takes the picture of the house because they were doing a hayride somewhere else, and I brought them in to come and do it at the mansion. It's perfect. It's a real haunted house. Let's do a haunted house and a hayride, you know? So I bring him in. He takes the picture.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Put it all together, right? So I bring him in. We're doing a trial run the day before we open. He turns. He takes the picture of the mansion. Sends us to his buddy. His buddy sends back and goes, "Hey, Steve, did you look in the windows?" He was looking at the second or third floor. We had 7 different faces in 7 different windows.
What?
7 different faces and 7 different windows.
Rick, I must see this photo.
I got a couple photos I will send to you.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll put it on creepypodcast.com, guys, so you can check this out for yourselves.
Yep, I will get you over some stuff. So I'm like, no. I'm saying it's a tree shadow, you know. But, I've always believed in stuff like that. Now, picture this. 7 faces, 7 windows. One of them was dressed up as a clown.
What?
One of them in the windows was dressed up as a clown.
I heard you. What? I hate clowns. Oh, my God. You have a clown spirit?
Yes, I guess I do.
What the hell's going on there?
Because we were doing the haunted house, so we had a scene that was there that was like a bunch of clowns. So I'm looking through and I'm going, wow, looks like a clown. Button nose. Buttons down, 3 buttons down your chest, and a button nose and a whole bit.
And McKelvey didn't look like a clown, right?
No, he did not. He was not. It wasn't him. It wasn't McKelvey. It wasn't McKelvey.
Oh.
That was kind of the real first stuff we caught there. Then I got another picture, because I do bands, so I do 2 stages. I do a main stage in the front of the house, and I set up a stage in the back of the house. So we have, you know, we go 1 stage to the other stage, back and forth. So I hire a photographer to take pictures for the day. He's taking pictures, not noticing nothing. Concert comes, concert goes. One of the girls who works for me, I don't know, she must have been searching online for something, and brought up the Chrysler Mansion, went on, and she sees a picture of the band. And then she zooms in on the side window, and there's a picture of a guy in a suit in the window looking out of the kitchen, looking at the band with a beard, okay, right next to him, a shorter lady, looked like she was sitting down. You see the face, and you see a bonnet hat on her. And you take a picture of Balthazar Kreischer, and it is 1,000% him.
No way!
You take an old picture of Balthazar, and you look at the figure in the window, dressed in a suit and everything, and it's 100, 1,000% in. It's amazing.
But who's the woman? Who's the woman in the bonnet?
We think it was his wife, Matilda.
Now, she's the one who's the wailer, right?
Yes.
She's the screamer.
Well, no. We think it's Matilda. I personally think it's Matilda, because that's Bowser's wife.
But he had 2 wives, right? Because one of them died in childbirth, right?
Yes. Caroline was his first wife. She died at giving birth to Edward, one of the sons. And then he married Matilda. And Matilda was with him towards the end, you know, until he passed away.
So who's the screamer?
I think it's Matilda. Screamer for Balthazar. That's my opinion. But the rumors have it that it's Edward's wife looking for Edward.
Oh, how sad.
Actually, that's one of the things we're going to do on one of our hunts coming up. We're going to find out who that is. Now you just—that's on my hit list. We're gonna try to find out who that is.
You say hit list, and it sounds scary.
That's yeah.
It sounds scary.
That does sound scary. That sounds creepy.
Yeah,
actually.
You know, your friend Robert McKelvey—he died violently. Just so you guys know, Joe Black Young was paid $8,000 by the Bonanno crime family to rub him out, and he didn't die right away. This poor guy was stabbed with a knife, which point he didn't go down. He tried to get out. He bolted towards the door. Then he was strangled, which was ineffective. And then he was drowned in a pool, a little pool. You should see the picture. I'm going to post it on creepypodcast.com. So he was drowned in a little pool that was literally the shape of a coffin. And it's called the drowning pool, right?
Yes, it was the shape of a coffin. I never thought about that, but you're correct. It was a long little water pool, like right out the side of the mansion.
Surrounded by the bricks.
Yep, surrounded by the brick. Since then, we have filled it in. Now we just do a memorial to Rob McKelvey there. So we have that set up as a little tribute to Rob.
Oh, that's nice.
The hit was they contacted Rob. They got him to the mansion and basically for a hit. And Rob was a tough kid.
He was.
He was tough. And he gave them a hard time.
He put up a fight.
He was a tough kid, yes. Put up a fight. And basically, they couldn't kill him. They eventually got to him, and they got to him right outside at the pool. And they drowned him. I think he was dead already, but they actually still drowned him anyway. It's a bad story.
It's a bad story. And then the creepy part is, guys, and I'm so sorry to say this about your friend in front of you,
yeah,
but he was cut up into pieces, and he was put into the coal-burning furnace. It's awful.
Yeah. And the whole catch was that it was a total plan, because that Joe Black, who was the caretaker there, worked for the family, and the house was getting redone at the time, okay, by the current owner. He was redoing the whole house. He was getting rid of the furnace.
Oh.
So it was planned to do the hit. Basically, I hate to talk like this too, but facts are facts. They cut his body up, burned it in the furnace, and the furnace was getting taken out. Right,
oh,
after that,
wow.
They're putting in a new furnace.
Oh, this is like you hear about these people getting murdered and like put into cement, you know, when they're pouring foundations and stuff. This happens, guys.
Yeah, this is true. This is a true story. You can look it up on any website you want. So they basically cut Rob up, burned him in the furnace. Okay. The furnace was removed. New furnace came in. They didn't get caught for 2 years. So you got to think about that. That was 2005. Joe Black didn't get arrested until 2007. So they got away with it for 2 years. The story goes is that they killed him. They didn't know what to do with him. They took his body, put it in one of two barns behind the mansion. They put Rob in the chair. They left him there, and they went to Home Depot to buy stuff to cut him up. So this is like a movie. It really is. It's horrible. But it's like a movie, and then they burned them, burned a lot of parts in the furnace, and then the furnace got removed right after that, and then the new one came in, so they didn't have evidence ready to go after. It was really hard for them to get evidence, because it was gone.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a missing step, though, that in the house, right, that was removed by the FBI?
Correct. Yes. You did your homework. I like this. This is good. Yes, they had blood on one of the steps, which was like the third step to the basement. And that was enough of evidence to convict Joe Black.
And what did McKelvey do to piss off the mob?
I heard he just stole the money.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. Never steal money from the mob. Even I know that. And I live in L.A.
Don't steal money from the mob.
No. I've seen that movie.
I'm in New York and in Staten Island. It's kind of big here. So the funny you said, Joe Black was paid $8,000, which really wasn't much to do with that.
That guy was a Marine. That guy has killed before, though.
Yes, he was a Marine. You're correct.
He's a killer. He was a total mob killer. That was not his first hit. No way.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. So now, Rob, we think it's going to house.
Whoa.
We've talked to meters. One of the girls who works for me, she's standing there. She goes, oh, I don't know who Rob is. I don't know who Rob is. We were doing a shoot there one day. The shoot just ended. You know, me and my assistant Liz were trying to tell my friend Missy who Rob was. I was saying, you know him. You know, he's from around town. He went to school with him. So she goes, I don't know if I know him. All of a sudden the shoot ends. So there was a really cool sunset coming down. So she goes, I'm going to run upstairs and get a picture of the sunset. She ran upstairs and went into like a bar room facing the water. She goes to take a picture. She hit video instead of photo. And know you hear over the video? You know him. You know him.
Oh.
We got that on tape, too.
That's awesome.
We got that on tape.
Oh, I feel bad for your friend. Oh, he's like stuck there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. Like, he was a missing. They didn't know what happened to him. His sister was Denise, who I knew really good. She put it out that he was missing, and they didn't know nothing until 2 years later.
Yeah, but when you're missing in your neighborhood, you know what happened, right?
You know something happened. Yeah. Yes, something's up.
It's Staten Island, yeah.
Staten Island, something's up. So that was like 2 years later is when it all went down. But it was so planned.
So planned.
They knew the furnace was going.
Yeah.
They knew in the time. They kind of knew what they were doing. They did.
It's organized.
It's organized. Very good. So we think Rob's still there. We think Bowser's is there. We think Edward and Charles are there.
Really?
I only heard Charles, the other son, talk recently.
Oh, my God.
Because I just did something over there with the history of the paranormal with Brian Cano from Travel Channel, Paranormal Corner Tape. Brian came in. We did all. He's on tour with the whole thing of the history of paranormal. They were doing an investigation outside, and then Charles came to him, Edward's brother.
Wow.
Very responsive. We caught a lot on him that night.
And he's the one that opened the portal.
We think he's the one who opened the portal.
Wow, it sounds terrifying. So there are a lot of legends about the Kreischer Mansion. One that I found out was about a German cook who may have been murdered in the kitchen and that still haunts the halls. Oh my gosh, is that for real?
You know, I've heard that, but I don't really know much about that. For some strange reason, it's hard to find the details on that. But there is history and there is rumors that that did happen in the kitchen, yes.
Rick, you have to go to the kitchen and do an EVP session.
You know, we never really drill the kitchen. We kind of drill, we call it Matilda's room because it's the room upstairs that faces where Balthazar's house mansion was. So we focus on there, we focus on the basement. We don't really focus on the kitchen, but I think we're going to do that too.
Oh, yeah. The kitchen's the heart of the home.
It's the heart of the home. You got that right. It's the heart of the home. We will find out.
I've also heard that there are sounds of scratching from a closet that sounds like children are trying to get out. What is that about?
Okay, they used to punish the children and put them into these closets.
Oh.
Well, okay, I could tell you a closet story now.
Let's hear it.
Okay, there's a big closet on the second floor, and there's a big closet on the third floor. We've heard the same stories, right? So we're doing a haunted house last year. We're using the room that has the big closet on the second floor because the room is that the Kreischers used to punish the kids, put them in the closet, and shut the door. And they used to leave them in the closet for whatever. And the kids used to try to bang on the door to get out.
That's terrifying. This is how you make ghosts, guys. Never lock your kids in a closet because they may be earthbound forever. It's traumatic.
It will stay there forever. So, but listen to this. So last year, we're doing a haunted house. The closet on the second floor, the big closet, which we thought it was that one on the third floor, because they're the two biggest closets. So the haunt's going on. That room is the clown room in the house. Okay, back to the clowns you don't like. So that's the clown room. So we get a call on the radio that someone's stuck in the closet in the clown room.
Oh.
So I'm at the box office, which is across the field, because that's where the hayride is. So me and my partner, Vinny, we go running to the house. We go up, and because the clowns were taking people, right, and kind of, you know, grabbing their shoulders and putting them in the closet for a minute and then letting them out. That was part of the act, you know, they're actors. So the door got stuck. So we didn't think none of it. We get the two kids out, and we go. So we try to fix it. Boom, nothing. We don't see nothing. It happened three times that night. The next day, we go and shave the door, top, right side and top. We shave the door so it won't happen again. And it starts happening again. And then all of a sudden, about 2 or 3 weeks later, somebody comes in with an article telling me that the kids used to get locked in the closet. And we were like, that closet? We shaved the door and it was still happening. And it kept on happening in the same room, in the same closet.
Oh, my God. This is what I'm telling you, Rick. You don't need to have actors there scaring people. This place is scary on its own.
It is. It is. It's its own character, that's for sure. Some of the kids liked it. So the kids who got stuck in the closet on Friday went home and came back with their brothers and sisters and were trying to get stuck in the closet the next day.
Yeah, they thought it was part of the show.
They thought it was part of the show.
They didn't know that it was like a real paranormal experience.
So we're running around like madmen, getting shaven doors and stuff, and the kids are loving it. Think it was part of the act. We couldn't get the door open. But we really couldn't get the door open.
Isn't that crazy? They love it. They like getting scared. They love it.
They love it. I've been doing concerts forever. I never even attempted a haunted house until a couple of years ago until I got involved with the Kreischer Mansion. So I do concerts. I do movies. I've done bands on boats, you know, everything. And I'm like, people love to get scared. Why didn't I think of this like 10 years ago? Like, I never had a place like the Chrysler Mansion, but since I do, you know, Dr. Oz came in there, right? So I'm dealing with this guy, Greg. He's one of the directors, right? He comes in. They come there. They brought in a medium. So she's sitting outside. They come in. They set up the cameras. So we're doing interviews. We're walking through the house. She comes in, and she's right off the bat. Murder was here. This is where they attacked Rob. Like, she was on it. She knew about the water, whatever. So we're doing private interviews with me and my assistant, right, in one room. The director went in the next room, and he got locked in.
Oh.
He couldn't get out. The door wasn't open. He was locked in the closet. And we're doing an interview, and they're like, yo, be quiet. We're doing an interview. Meanwhile,
He's trying to get out. He's being, like, trapped in there by the ghost. I love it. Where was the camera then, right?
Where was
right?
the camera then? So now all the stuff is starting to happen while they're there. They were only supposed to come to the house and do an interview with me and walk around the house. It was the Dr. Oz's true crime segment, but it was the same thing. It was like a true crime, murder, paranormal thing, you know.
It goes together, Rick. People die, they're murdered, and their ghosts remain. It goes together.
Because they weren't ready to go. That's so true. So all of a sudden, I become friends with this guy, Greg, now. So they're there. Now, I wasn't supposed to go on the show. I was only supposed to just come there, do the interview, have the medium come, and then she was supposed to go on the show and talk about what she found. But he got locked in the room. All of a sudden, they come up to me halfway through the day, and they're like, they want you on the show next Thursday. So the guy, Greg, the assistant producer, he came on the show with us about getting locked in the room.
It's good TV.
So he was all over.
Oh, yeah. Of course they had you on the show. That's like the best thing that's happened to Dr. Oz in years.
Yeah, he was like, really. And then I have photos of five orbs, okay?
Really?
Going
weird.
Around. My sister went out. One day we were in there, me and my partner working in there. And she went out and she took five shots at the front of the mansion. And there's five orbs that went from the left side of the main doors, the front doors. It went from the bottom of the left, top of the left, top of the door, top right, low right, and ended right at the bottom of the stairs.
That's weird.
Six shots of five orbs moving all around the front door.
Weird. What is that?
It was orbs, spirits.
Oh my gosh.
So when people ask me about how many I think are there, I think five spirits are there because that's the most orbs that I've ever seen in any of the photos we took. We'll catch orbs if we're doing a video or something. You'll catch an orb flying by. But that day, we caught five orbs moving around the whole front of the mansion.
Well, and there's the picture of all the ghosts looking out through the windows. I mean, come on.
That was really the first thing. Now, the caretakers who were there before me, they had a recording studio there for a little while. And it was a caretaker there, and them guys were just non-believers. So I came in, and I start picking up all this stuff. And I'm like, guys, I'm catching these photos. I'm catching this. I'm catching that. That was even before we were doing the EVPs and trying to get our voices. You know, this is just pictures I was catching. I'm like, you guys explain that to me then. How is five walls moving around? How do they get seven faces in a window? You know, and I'm showing it to them. And then after a while, they were like, yeah, well, I used to hear some stuff. I said, so what were you guys trying to hide? Like, it is what it is.
They were trying to be all tough guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we don't believe in that. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm catching this stuff. You know, they eventually left, and then me and my guys took over everything over there. But I was like, guys, it is what it is. This is creepy.
It's so creepy.
I'm catching pictures. I'm catching bodies. We're catching noises, you know, and then we started buying meters and stuff, you know, and then we're catching stuff. You can even catch stuff on your phones, too. We catch it on the phone sometimes. You know, the meter was, we'll put our phones on sometimes, you know, our cell phones.
But Rick, you're no stranger to the paranormal because you used to own a club called the Caves Rock Club, and that place is supposed to be haunted, too.
Yes. I did own a club. It was called the Caves. That was built in 1853. It was basically kind of, they were like moonshining in there back in the 1800s. And
yeah, they were. Definitely.
They were moonshining.
Yeah,
they were, but that was a place that was built and it was underground and the rich and famous of Staten Island, New York used to go there. I wound up having it as a club and stuff used to happen to me in there too. And that was around late 90s, Yeah, yeah, late 90s or into early 2000s. So I had a club. It was underground. So you went in. It was actually real caves. They used to make beer in there. And that's what it was built for, a brewery. So it was caves on the ground, like circular caves made out of brick.
Wow.
Did not know if it was Chrysler bricks, to be honest with you, but I don't think so because it was built before then, before he was really operationable here. But it was all round tunnels. I had a rock club there. We used to, I'll tell you, every time I brought in cameras to do filming or something in there, all weird stuff used to happen. I was doing we were filming a movie in there once with, you ever hear Lisa Loeb? She's like a folk singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lisa Loeb. Her sister was the lead, and Frankie Bello, the bass player for Anthrax, was the lead guy. It was a movie about like a dysfunctional family, the son's a rock musician. And so they're filming in there for days, and all of a sudden I take them in the office. I go, all right, I get the local radio station to come down to do an interview. And we're sitting there, and they're doing their interviews, and I had a metal Newport cigarette sign on the wall. Now, the interview was going on in front of my desk, which was like, I don't know, a good seven feet away, maybe. Metal signs flying off and landing right in between them.
Oh!
So I pick it up and I go, ah, it's a truck outside. It happened three times in like a 15-minute interview.
Oh, my God. But this is what I've heard, Rick. I've heard from people in the paranormal field that spirits want to be heard. They want to be recognized. They want to communicate. They don't want to be forgotten. So when the cameras are rolling, they're going to show up.
They want to show up. I did photo shoots in there where things used to happen. They want to be known. They want to be heard. And like I was told at the Chrysler by Dr. Oz's medium, it was like a professional medium. She's a TV medium. She said they just want their story told. They told me that Bowser was still around the mansion because he wasn't done with that town. And he named it Chryslerville, and then it got taken away because of the Germans. We went to war with the Germans. But he wasn't done.
No, he wasn't.
And that's what she told me. He's still around. He's still around.
Yeah. He was ahead of his time. He was truly a builder. He had a big plan. And I think that he wasn't able to fulfill his life's goals.
He wasn't.
And so now he's still haunting the Kreischer Mansion.
He's still there. And I was told by her, when I seen that picture of him in the back window looking at the band, she said to me, the medium from Dr. Oz, he was a rich guy in the 1800s. He loved music. You're bringing life here again. And she said that he's loving the music thing. She said to me, he's not so crazy about the haunted house thing yet. She goes, but he loves the music thing. She says, because he was into the music thing. He actually, his daughter married a Steinway. Do you know Bowser Kreischer backed the Steinway piano organization in the 1800s to get it going?
He gave like a massive amount of money and he started the whole thing. Yes, he is a lover of music. He supported the arts, absolutely. Or supported his daughter's love interest.
Yes, and he backed the whole Steinway thing.
It's some great history. I know you use the place as a recording studio now, and I know that people like lose their recordings.
They do. Yeah, there was a recording studio in there. They were recording and they played back as they're recording and everything sounds great. And then when the tape's all done, they're like, okay. They'd be missing blotches of the tape all the way through.
Oh, yeah, that's the spirits. They mess with your stuff.
They like electronics.
They like electronics. So tell me about the film productions there. Have there been any ghost stories or surrounding the big film productions and TV productions?
I wasn't there when the Gotham thing. I was there doing one music video shoot, and they had like a wooden cross that they were using for one of the scenes. And it kind of came flying out of the girl's hand one.
What?
It came flying out.
Oh, my God.
It came flying out of her hand once. It came flying out the second time. Third time went down broke. We were like, forget it. Scratch that. That can't be in the scene. It's not us. It's the house. That was it. That was the end of the story.
Oh, wow.
No one talked about it after that. Everybody was creeped out. And they were just like, okay, we're not using that in the scene. Let's move on to something else. Let's go into the next scene. So we kind of scratched it. But the recordings, there was a lot of recordings that had glitches in them.
Really?
Which is kind of weird.
It is weird, but the spirits mess with production. They just do. So with all of this, though, you're either a very brave man or, you know, you are truly a caretaker and the spirits kind of leave you alone and show you respect. What do you think it is?
They do. I have a local paranormal guy who I deal with
He's been doing this a long time, a friend of mine. So he comes in there, he tells me that the kids kind of follow me around like I'm their uncle.
Aww.
And he says, and they play with me, he goes. Because I have a feeling, because a lot of the old caretakers that were there.
You mean the murderers?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're the coolest caretaker that's been there, Rick.
And then there's another guy after the murderer who was bad news.
Oh,
and
man.
The guy with the studio went in there, was abusing the property. So he tells me that the kids follow me around. They said they play with me. They move things on me. The medium from Dr. Ossett, same thing. So I kind of feel comfortable there now. I kind of got used to it. I mean, at the beginning, if I was there and somebody went to the store when I first started years ago there, I'd be outside the door standing on the porch on the phone till somebody got back. You know, now I don't care. You know, now I'm kind of more comfortable there.
No one's locking you in closets. That's good.
I'm not getting locked in the closet. I know it's closet not to go in. That's why.
The big one where they used to punish the kids.
I'm going to the big one on the second or third floor big ones. Don't go in them closets.
I totally feel like they designed the building to put the bad kids in the closet, too. It's so weird. I wonder if that's like an old-fashioned German thing. I don't know.
I don't know. That's something that should look up because, you know, in America, you didn't put the kid in the closet.
Abusive.
You hit the kid with a belt. You hit the kid with a belt. Or you hit the kid with a wooden spoon, but you wouldn't lock him in the closet. You know, maybe it was a German thing. Who knows?
Oh.
Yeah, that's something I gotta look at. I gotta look that one up. So, you know, freaked out about staying there by myself. You know, it's funny because we're there sometimes and like we're doing it on purpose. Like if we're there, there's like three of us, right? Like two of us was like, let's go to the deli. Let's leave so and so here. And then when we come back, everybody's freaking out because they're a little paranoid, you know? So it's kind of funny.
Funny, haha. You're working with ghosts. It's a highly spirited place. Wow.
It's a very high-spirited place, yes it is.
Rick, thank you so much for being on Amy Keeps It Creepy. I cannot wait to check out this place. Next time I'm in the city,
come to New York,
I'm so
come there.
You could even do
a podcast from there if you want. If you come to New York, you let me know.
Oh, yeah.
You got an open invitation to come check out the mansion.
Let's do it. Oh, that's so kind, Rick. Thank you so much. Wow, what a great story. Oh, my gosh. Do you have a creepy true crime or paranormal story that you would like to share on Amy Keeps It Creepy? I know you do. Please email me a brief description of your story to info@creepypodcast.com. I can't wait to get creeped out. Thanks for listening.
Toxic content.